Justice of France. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I have three comments following our previous work. First, on the approach on norms of behavior. Second, on threats of the use of force. And third, on the applicability of international humanitarian law. And so, in brief, on the approach on norms of behavior. As we said during our own opening statement, our approach is pragmatic. And that's what we recognize and are grateful for in the group. The approach is to reinforce space security and safety through concrete actions. The question which we believe we should ask is not whether the norms that we're discussing will be or are legally binding. We should distinguish two different questions. First, identification and definition of norms of behavior, and on the other hand, the very nature of such norms. Some of these norms will have the potential of becoming binding, and others will not. This will depend on their objective, the consensus they're supported by, and how verifiable the facts are. But the most important thing now is to think about norms that will provide framework for general behavior in outer space. We can do this in a progressive manner, as is set forth in the mandate for the group. But negotiations of a treaty or an international convention is a very different exercise that would require much more time, given the procedural restrictions. However, it is urgent today that we reduce threats in extra-atmospheric space. We cannot rule out that the work of identifying and developing such norms and principles of behavior can subsequently, in compliance with international law, gain legally binding nature. France, following many other states, adopted the commitment to not conduct tests of destructive anti-satellite direct ascension missiles, and since last April spoke in favor of an internationally legal binding ban on such tests. We demonstrated thus our willingness to defend such a norm of behavior and for it to become legally binding. In compliance with the General Assembly's resolution, we call on states that have not yet done so to join this movement also. The second issue is on the threat of the use of force. In compliance with UN Charter and the Space Treaty, France, just like Brazil and Switzerland and others, considers that 2.4 of the UN Charter applies fully to extra-atmospheric space. Our delegation considers that states must abstain from all aggressive rhetoric involving or mentioning the use of force against space vehicles, notably civilian infrastructure, outside of any case other than justifiable defense, in the detriment of the safety and security of all, and work only in favor of the sustainable, peaceful use of space. Such a behavior validates the approach of this group. It is the attitude of those who proffer such types of threats, whether they are explicit or direct, which only create further tension. And certainly, this is not acceptable when we're talking about civilian satellites, particularly. As we step back and look at our work, notably the technical efforts, we can see that we need to define what exactly a threat is or what may be a threat. And explaining what we take as a target, for example, civilian satellites, states non-parties to a conflict, without a treaty in the area, testing land-launched destructive anti-satellite missiles, we have to understand whether there is such behaviors are a threat. Or if we look at a state that publishes its space strategy to explicitly explain its ambitions, to dispel doubts, to reaffirm its respect for international law and international cooperation, whilst clearly explaining what it understands to be a potential threat to reduce all risk of misunderstandings. Our third comment is on the applicability of international law in space. My delegation deplores the analysis that was offered by a number of delegations, which appears to say that international humanitarian law does not apply to outer space, and that its application cannot be discussed by this group. We believe that such an approach is erroneous, legally incorrect, and it's particularly worrying in principle. Nothing in international law on outer space excludes the application of international humanitarian law in this area. On the contrary, as others have said, the 1967 treaty, which supports our work, explicitly stipulates that international law as a whole applies in space. International humanitarian law, in addition, if it is usually applied in times of armed conflict, has seen some of its principles also applied in peacetime, and there is nothing in international law that can give us grounds to exclude the application of such rules in outer space. And finally, my apologies for having spoken for a long time, the affirmation according to which discussing rules in the application of international humanitarian law would be to admit the use of force is deeply worrying. It is worrying in its very principle. It is contradictory, we believe, to international law and principle, and it can lead to weakening a ban on threats, and that a ban on the use of force and the application of international humanitarian law could be restricted. So this analysis could lead us to believe that the existence of a general ban on the use of force that was proposed by 2.4 should ban our discussions, even on land, of the development and application of international humanitarian law, which of course is nonsensical. Thank you for your attention.